Thank you for listening to our podcast. We trust it inspires and encourages you to honor God and make disciples. For more audio messages like these and other resources, please visit victorymetroeast.org.
I'm so excited to be here for our week two of our mission series called Viral. And just three things at the onset I wanted to say I'm grateful to God for. Number one, really our church is totally, totally committed. I'm grateful to God that not just a few of our leaders or a few of us advocates missions, but that our churches in general had been totally, totally committed to the work of missions. So much so that we set aside two Sundays out of the year just to focus on missions. And the reason being, this is more than just a ministry priority to us. This is something talagang malapit na malapit sa puso ng Panginoong Jesus natin. This is something very personal to our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, let me read to you a verse in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, where it says, I'll just read the half part of it, because you were slain, it talks about Jesus, and with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe, and language, and people, and nation. It may appear like this is a crown jewel. Missions is a crown jewel to victory. That means it's a top ministry priority to us. But to Jesus, it's beyond ministry. It is personal. Because it is something that He shed His precious blood for. Now, how many of us here know that if that is personal to Jesus, it must be personal to us also? Right? So we are taking missions very serious for this very reason alone. Secondly, I'm grateful to God that we set aside these 2 weeks just to really have an opportunity for us to be able to give you updates, but also to thank you. I want to thank you, especially those of you that has been supporting us in missions all these years, or maybe even if you just started last year. I cannot tell you, we could never accomplish what God has called us to do, advancing God's kingdom in the most dangerous, the most difficult nations of the world, without your prayers, without your financial support, without your partnership with us. The work is not gonna get any smaller. Lumalaki lang po na lumalaki. Out of all the 54 countries in all of Asia, that includes Middle East, that includes Central Asia, although, by the way, it's only 54, it represents 60% of the entire world's population. Out of the 54 countries, we are in 33 of them, and we have only 21 to go. And our plan is if we just target 3 countries per year by 2020, we would have reached every country of the entire Asian continent that represents 60% of the world. And that, we cannot do it with or without your help. We appreciate your partnership with us. Now, we also realize our churches have grown so much. Hundreds of people had been added just in the last year, and maybe even thousands, depending where our churches are. Ibig sabihin po niya, marami po tayong mga bagong members sa church na first time nyo lang mapakinggan itong vision natin for missions, we also want to give you an opportunity to get involved. Hindi lamang po ito para sa mga mayayaman o taong may kaya o may resources. Lahat po tayo, pwede tayo maging involved sa missions. Diba? You will hear reports about we're doing this, we're reaching Pakistan, we're reaching this country, that country. Sayang naman na hindi kayo involved. We don't want you to regret one day, sayang di ako kasama dun. Every one of us can be involved through prayer, through our giving, through going. We could be involved in many, many ways. And the last thing I want to be grateful to God is really because our pastors, dito sa Victory Metro is napakaraming pastors. From Pastor Earl, Pastor Winston, Pastor Donnie was here earlier. I don't know who else. Marami tayong mga pastors dito. Of course, Pastor Mark, Pastor Dan, dalawang Pastor Dan, mga youth pastors natin, lahat ng mga staff natin, are all totally, totally committed to missions. In fact, before this campaign, kami po, 1 month ago, nauna na po kami. We've challenged ourselves. We have already done our mission challenge. We have already gotten this form, and we have already filled it up. We prayed with our wives and our wife, and then we've decided, nauna na po amin lahat. So this is your chance and your opportunity to be involved. There are more nations we are going to reach. I wish I'm still preaching every nation, but today our study is every campus. But that, I'm grateful to God for that. Our series is called Viral. There are two weeks. Last week, we talked about every nation. Today, we will talk about the strategic importance and value of reaching every campus. Ang topic po, ba't natin naisip yung word na viral? Because it's such a very powerful word today. Ang unang, nung unang panahon, pag sinabi mong viral, it relates to infectious diseases or contagious diseases that transfer from person to person that brings about destruction. Malala nyo, 10 years ago, nagkaroon ng scare because of SARS. Nawala yung mga nagbabiyahe sa Hong Kong kasi ang tagline ng airline, it will take your breath away. Natakot silang pumunta. But that is the view of, traditional view of viral. Today, when we use the word viral, it refers to rapid spread of information, whether through a tweet, a post, a photo, a video, using the internet and other social media site, uploaded there, and then in an instant, millions of people all over the world can view it. Just recently, marami sa inyo, galit na galit, dahil nakakita kayo ng video uploaded who went viral, tatlong babae, kinawawa yung tuta hanggang sa pinatay yung tuta, di ba? Nabalita yan sa lahat ng news network. That is an example of viral. This has today become a crazy media phenomenon. Unprecedented in any of our media history. Let me give you an example. YouTube na lang. Do you know that there are 800 million users per month? That translates to about 26 million a day, 1 million per hour, 17,000 per minute, 300 per second. Kung mag-pause lang ako ng 3 seconds ngayon, ayun, 900 na ang nag-up, ang nanood na ang YouTube. Imagine that. That is how fast it is. Now, that's only viewing. What about uploading? 72 hours of video is uploaded every single minute. That translates to 4.5 billion viewing hours of YouTube videos alone. YouTube pa lang. You cannot finish this in your 50 lifetimes. Kahit na eh, panganak ka pa muli, ulit, panoorin mo yan, oras-oras, hindi mo maubos ang videos na to. It's crazy. In 2011, it even broke, in that year alone, 1 trillion views. That is 100 views per person on planet Earth. It has gone crazy because of this phenomenon. It's no wonder that today may mga hits tayo na umaabot ng tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, yung iba million, yung iba tens of million, yung iba hundreds of million, yung iba billion na. The first person who broke the 2 billion mark. Of course, hindi ko masyadong kilala to, basta patawag nila sa kanya, Justin Bieber. 2 billion. Yung pangalawa, si Rihanna. Pangatlo, si Lady Gaga, who also broke recently 2 billion mark. And of course, si Psy ng Gangnam Style, who broke 1 billion mark. Imagine that. But you know, as staggering as these numbers may seem to you, these are temporary phenomenon until a new video comes along. According to unruly media that monitors viral videos, for the past 7 years, meron po shelf life. Ang average shelf life po ng video post is 6 days. Sikat ka, tanyag ka for 6 days. After that, nakalimutan ka na kasi may lumabas na ng bago, nag-aapak nung tuta, nawala na. Kaya yung iba, malaking relief ito lalo na pag pinag-iinitan ng isang politician tapos nagkaroon ng giyera sa Zamboanga, dinawala na kaagad. Binabalik-balikan na lang sa dami ng current events na shocking. Kanina, breaking news, ang rebel leader ng Libya pinatay. Parang pinaka one of the high position. Yun ang breaking news, Fox News, CNN, all over major news network. What about Facebook? Sino sa inyo dito, hindi kayo mahilig sa Facebook talaga? Taas nyo nga yung kamay nyo. Okay. Hindi mahilig, ha? Tama yun kasi kanina tinanong ko, sino mahilig dito? Konti lang nagtaas. So at least, hindi kayo nagtaas na kamay, mahilig kayo lahat. Okay? Alam niyo ba ang average shelf life ng video ng Facebook post is 90 minutes? Ibig sabihin, listen, 98% of everybody who will see your post, who will like or unlike your post, all happens in the period of 90 minutes. Huwag nyo nang asahan after 90 minutes kung may makakapagpansin pa niyan. Kung meron man, maybe 2%. Sikat ka, nakakaabot ka ng 500 likes and 1,000 likes, mamatitindi na yon, di ba? That's the shelf life. Now, in the video we showed earlier, sa introduction, ang proposition ganito, imagine a virus that does exactly the opposite. Instead na kamatayan, kapahamakan, at destruction, it does the opposite. It brings life. It brings healing. It brings restoration. It changes lives forever. It changes nations forever. Alam niyo ba? Yan ang istorya ng Christianity. When Christianity was born, it went viral. It did not stay for 6 days or 90 minutes or 10 years or 20 years. Man, 2,000 years. It still impacts human history and counting. Amen ba? Kaya pag nagkaroon ka ng Jesus virus, it changes you forever for the rest of your life. Just imagine from a very humble beginning of Christianity, from a small minority of Jewish Christian believers gathered in the upper room in Acts chapter 1. Today, 2 billion people, nearly one-third the world's population, profess to become Christians. Do you know that year after year, there is no match? We still have to find a secular book that can match the number one bestseller book year after year after year after year, and that is the Holy Bible. Even in secular Norway, where only 1% of the population goes to church, in last year, 2012, it became number one best-selling book in the world. In the tune of 78.5 million books sold, not just printed, but sold. Ganyan ang power and influence ng gospel or the word of God. Matthew 24:14 clearly validates this. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. It doesn't matter who are economic condition or political condition or who is the governing leaders. It cannot be stopped. This gospel will advance. Not only that, Isaiah 9:7 says, to the increase of his government and peace, there is no end. In Matthew 11:12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until today, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women lay hold of the kingdom of God. Ang topic po natin last week, kung na-miss nyo po ito, I'll just want to refresh your memory. The point we learned is if we want Christianity to continue to go viral, there are 4 important elements. Necessary, number one, we should continually lift up one name only. That is the name of Jesus. Not every nation, not victory, not personality, not our doctrine, not our vision, but the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said if his name is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. There is no name given among men whereby man can be saved except only by the name of Jesus. Pangalawa, this can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. No amount of experience, resources, kahit na napakagaling pa natin, kahit napaka-experience pa natin, hindi natin kayang gawin to. The church was born because of the acts of the Holy Spirit. Yung book of Acts na yan, hindi dapat tawagin yan Acts of the Apostles. Dapat ang proper title niyan, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it was through the Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, that the church was born. Amen? The third is we need to possess a global vision. We love our local church. We are here to serve you, love you, build you, encourage you. But at the end of the day, we have a bigger world to win. Because the Great Commission says, make disciples of all nations. Not just our little city, but all the nations of the world. And fourthly, we have to faithfully proclaim the gospel in the words of the Apostle Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel because this is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes in it, who believes in the gospel. Today, we will look at the strategic importance and value of reaching every campus. We'll take a look at our text in Acts 17. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace. Tandaan natin yung word na yan. Babalikan natin mamaya yan. Day by day with those who happened to be there. Verse 18, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remark, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Verse 21, all the Athenians. Sino sa inyo mga taga-Ateneo rito? Sikat pala talaga kayo, no? And the foreigners who live there spend their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Problema talaga pag masyado ka matalino, no? Wala ka nang magawa sa buhay. Intelligence without God makes you look like a bubbler and a fool. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. Let's jump to 23. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. First, let me begin by giving you a background of the city of Athens, which is really no different from our modern-day cities and educational centers today. One, Athens is the intellectual center and the literary capital of the ancient world. In short, it is the most cultured city on earth in those days. It is a city of about 100,000 people and home to philosophers, intellectuals, painters, poets, orators, and sculptors. It is also home to great university, where many great numbers of students, including Rome, would come to do their studies. So it's become a marketplace of ideas. It is also a pagan city that boasts some 30,000 statues built as idols to various gods of the city. In all this backdrop, what is exciting is that instead of Paul get intimidated, he saw this as a highly strategic opportunity to share the gospel. I'll tell you, we should not be intimidated by worldliness and carnality and prevailing evil, for sin, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. The more darker it is, the brighter the light of the gospel will become. Paul didn't just preach anywhere he goes. He chose where he preached strategically. Paul deliberately targeted the urban centers very much like today. And as a result of that, the gospel has spread, because this is the centers of communication. It has spread all across the region in all of Asia. In short, the gospel went viral. In Acts 19, verse 26, it says, and you see and hear, this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. These words come from Paul's critics. But it's amazing how they describe his work, how it started in Ephesus, and now practically the whole province of Asia is affected by it. In another verse it says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And verse 49, and the word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region. So much so that in Romans chapter 15, verse 23, it says, but now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions. This gives me great hope. How many of you know, even in a very difficult place like that, the gospel of God can advance? Who would ever imagine a third world country like ours? We can barely pay rent and we have moved up, not only reaching now 70 cities all over the Philippines, and now it is impacting many, many nations in Asia. We are in 33 of them, some of the most difficult nations to reach. Just in the last several months, we've started our churches, three churches in Saudi Arabia, in Al Kubar, in Riyadh, in Jeddah. We have EN churches. So it's amazing how God has used and how the kingdom has indeed forcefully advanced. Most cities are the same today. We should not be intimidated. We should bear the witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in the urban centers of the world. They are described like this, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why we need to preach God's gospel, God's truth that can liberate them. No human, brilliant human ideas can set nations free. Only the gospel can. What is worse, this is the up description of the city in Athens. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Yan ang problema sa matatalinong tao na walang Kristo. They look fools. Like the t-shirt that says, "I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you?" Might as well be a fool for Christ, right? Then it continues on to say, "And exchange the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. 30,000 idols. Today the idols are not graven images. They just look like beautiful cars. Club membership. There's nothing wrong with them. But if you start putting value on them, they become idols of your lives. Amen? So now, let's looking at our text. If we want the gospel to go viral in every campus, there are three important things we need to consider. And we need to give credit to Pastor Winston because he's the one who conceived this outline for us. One is the marketplace. Second is the message. And third, we're going to look at the messenger. So let's first take a look at the marketplace. Obviously, when we say marketplace, we refer to business, community, or our workplace. Kung saan kayo nagtatrabaho, yun ang workplace. But when we talk about marketplace of ideas, that obviously refers to colleges and universities. That is the marketplace today. Modern day marketplace. The values people learn in college and universities become the values of society in the future. This is why it is so critical that we bring a biblical perspective and gospel truths to our future leaders today. As Abraham Lincoln put it, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And according to Rice Brooks, the college and university campuses have more influence on the direction, morality, and overall fabrics of society than any other secular institution on the face of the earth. The values that students have, we have today, the brilliant students we have, they will become the values of Congress. They will become the values of Senate. They will become the values in the business world. And if they are corrupt, and if they are humanistic, we reap the consequences of that. That's why values are not neutral. Education is not neutral. We have to teach deliberately Bible truths. Steve Merle said, "The campus is the birthplace of change. You change the campus, you change the world." The campus is like a small city. If we don't even have a hope of changing a campus, we cannot change the world. The campus is the most captivated audience. They have nowhere to go in the next 4 or 5 years unless they love their school so much that they would stay there for 8-10 years. I hope none of you is like that here. Consider also the statistics of the youth, the significance and the importance of the youth in the world today. Do you know half of the world's population, nearly 8 billion people, nearly, are below 25 years old. A church that does not reach or prioritize young people is absolutely irrelevant. And if we do not reach and impact future generation of young people, we could never realize true transformation in our nation. Out of this half of the world's population is 25 years old, and 60% of them live in Asia. Philippines alone has 70% below 30 years of age. And the total number of our youth, 65% of them, are in the campuses. Why are we reaching the campus? Is it because we're a campus ministry? No. It's because the future leaders are in the campuses today. If the future leaders are on the streets, we would be in the streets today. That's why we are in the campus, because that's where they are. Here are a few other compelling reasons why we need to reach the youth. The campus is where the future leaders of society are located. That would be your CEOs, presidents, generals, innovators, media people, businessmen, lawyers, educators, directors, scriptwriters, I mean, name it, entrepreneurs. They are all in the campuses today. Allow me to tell you a story about this young man by the name of Matthew, This young man, his name is Matthew. This lady beside her is the famous lady of Myanmar, Aung Si. This guy is a member of our church. And a quick story, he began really very, very shy. You know, let me give you a backdrop. When we sent our missionaries there about 10 years ago, the government is so paranoid of student movements or gatherings that they basically put all colleges and universities under military control. At their whim, they can close the school indefinitely. Walang negotiation yan. Sara. That's it. Sara. They can block the whole city, for all you know. When a general would pass, they'll just shut down all the streets. They can do that there because it's ruled by a military junta. I've been to Myanmar many, 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 many times. And so our missionaries became really creative. So because of that, they started E++. It's teaching English, but not just English. It's English that makes a difference. Just look at their creativity. Ang ginagawa po nila, they teach Bible-based English lessons. Pero ito yung ginagawa nila. The classes took the form of the church service. The church service took the form of the English class. To learn English through songs, yan ang equivalent ng worship natin. So kailangan sila matuto ng English eh. So kakanta sila ng songs, praise and worship. Right? Now, to develop their listening skills, syempre, makinig sila sa preaching. Ina-analyze nila. Gagawa sila ng feedback eh. Diba? Tapos, to practice their speaking skills, syempre, mag-small group sila. Kompleto. Diba? In the Lord, big hand for that. Tinalo pa nila tayo dito. Iba sa atin, di pa nag-attend ng small groups. But I'll tell you this. Because of this, many, many Burmese young leaders are swept into the kingdom, got born again, got discipled in our church, and one of them basically is Matthew. Matthew was very shy in the beginning, but he has great aspirations. He has great dreams that one day he will serve in the parliament of Myanmar. But how can that happen? The government is ruled by a military junta. Guess what happened? We made him a translator in church. He got better and better in English, and soon word got out that there is this very good translator in church. So NGO would try to hire him now. Especially when there are foreign diplomats that come, he is the translator. When they have foreign seminars, he is the translator. And when they found out that he has a passion to change his nation, they gave him a scholarship, and he studied at Hong Kong Polytechnic University. And then, so he garnered more. So cabinets would consult him about issues on Myanmar laws to draft policies in the government. And just last year, he has been given scholarship to Cornell University in New York. Praise God. Now IMF and both IMF and World Bank is consulting with him how to make proper investments in Myanmar. Soon, he will run for parliament. He will realize his dream. And he's telling us, church, pray with me, because we will soon realize our dream to really shape and impact the destiny of Myanmar for the glory of God. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. Another lady that was saved in the E++ is Zarni. Zarni is also Burmese. She went and got a scholarship, one of the most prestigious scholarship in one of the best seminaries in the world, Asbury Theological Seminary, from the school where Pastor Winston got his scholarship also. When he got there, he is so outstanding. Everybody is so blown away by her because of her ability to speak, her leadership. And so the school went and said, where did you learn English? In church. No, I mean your English. They're thinking of some university. No, in church. I said, maybe you misunderstood. No, how did you communicate English? In church. What do you mean? Okay. How did you get your leadership? Why are you so good in leadership in church? What? They were so blown away by it, they asked her to speak about the church in the chapel service. We will schedule you. Can you share a testimony about what your church has done for you? And now her passion is to start a preschool, a lot of preschool in Myanmar to raise the future generation of leaders in that nation. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that as well. There are hundreds of stories like this that we can hear, but we don't have the time. Second, it's because the campus is where major movements have started, good or bad. From communism to student activism, but also the good things like prayer movements that have impacted decades of missionary work, student volunteer movements that have sent tens of thousands of young people, the Cambridge Seven, very prominent. They are called Cambridge Seven because they are super rich, super popular athletes. They all went to China, all seven of them, all from campus, overseas missionary fellowship, and many more movements, all born in the campus that are now literally impacting the world. And the values of the campus will become the values of society in the future. This is why we want to reach the campus, because it's so strategic. Secondly, we want to look at the message. Before I tell you the importance and strategic value of the gospel, why the campus? Why is the message so strategic to the campus? Because, oh, by the way, this is just the text here. No human ideas will ever fix human problems except the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why Paul preached nothing else. He did not preach the wisdom of the world. He preached only the wisdom that comes from the good news about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Now, what is the strategic value of reaching students the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's because of this. For whatever reason, young hearts are more pliable to God's truth. 19 out of 20, what is that, 97% of those who become Christians do so before they reach up the age of 25. After 25, only 1 in 10,000. After 35, only 1 in 50,000. After 45, only 1 in 200,000. If you got saved at 45, wow, you are 1 in 200,000. If you got saved later on, you are 1 in a million. In short, the older people get, the more difficult it is for them to respond to the gospel. Kaya hanggat maari bata pa lang sila, i-reach out na natin sila. That is why the campus is highly strategic. Let me share with you 5 critical importance and values of the gospel. Number 1, it will go viral whether we like it or not. It cannot be stopped. This gospel will be preached. Acts 2:17, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Meaning, especially the young people. There will be unprecedented outpouring of God's spirit and the gospel in the last days. Secondly, no salvation outside the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of it because it is the power of God to bring salvation to those who believe. Thirdly, no righteousness outside the gospel. In Romans 1:17, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. The only way we can be put in right standing with God and be acceptable to God is not because of what we do, as good as they may be. You cannot save by that. You can only be saved by the grace and mercy of God. To validate that further, Galatians 2:21 said this, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died needlessly. Christ died for nothing, which means this, if we can be saved, kung kaya pala tayong maligtas sa pamamagitan ng mabuting gawa natin, panalangin, paggawa ng mabubuti sa kapwa natin, mabubuti lahat yung mga bagay na yon, pero hindi dahil doon naligtas tayo. Kung maligtas tayo, ang walang kabuluhan ng pagkamatay ni Kristo. But all of us fell short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus came and died for us, took away our sins. Number 4, the gospel is so urgent, it's to die for, according to Paul. Acts 20:24, however, he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. What is that urgent task? The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Look at the heart of the Apostle Paul in another scripture. To the weak, he said, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. And in the next verse, it says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. And finally, there is serious consequences when we reject the gospel. He will punish those who do not know God. and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. Guys, there's a day of reckoning when we will all give an account to God. Alam mo, pinakamalungkot, balang araw, pumipila ka papuntang langit, tapos mga kaibigan mo, mga kamag-anak mo nandun sa kabila at sinasabi, alam mo, hindi mo sinabi sa amin. Kaya ako nung araw pag pinipreachan ko yung mga atheist, mga communist, sabi ko, huwag na tayo magdebate, pakinggan nyo na lang yung sasabihin ko. Nakikiusap lang naman ako na pakinggan nyo muna ako. Alam nyo bakit? Kasi ayokong harapin yung Lord one day at sasabihin nyo kay Lord, Lord, walang nagsabi sa akin ito. Ngayon sinabi ko sa inyo, wala na kayong excuse, ha? Kung sakasakali itong God na to, totoo ito, you have no excuse. I want you to know, I'm telling you. And I tell you, so many people have given their lives to Jesus as a result of that. But here's the good news. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Just as I close here, I really ran out of time. The messenger, it's really all of us, guys. For Paul, he was a great advocate. He taught us well. This is not just the job of full-time minister. It is every Christian's job. The first key here is discipleship. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you heard me say, the things you heard your pastor say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Hindi lang po tayo nagdi-disciple. Dini-disciple natin, disciple-making disciples. Para tuloy-tuloy po yung laganap ng ebanghelyo. Pangalawa is a healthy church. Sinasabi dito, 2 Corinthians 10:15, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand. As your faith continues to grow. Nagpapasalamat ako kay Lord that despite, the financial difficulties we may be facing, at least ang church natin, healthy, hindi po ba? Because of this, we can fix our gaze to reach the nations. Napakalungkot po, yung mga simbahang iba, hindi na nga malaki, nag-aaway-aaway pa. Politiko. Kaya tuloy, hindi man lang makapag-isip mag-reach sa next neighborhood. Because everything is about defending their turf. Aren't you glad in victory? There is no politics, zero politics. We are not lifting any name, any doctrine, any church leader. We are lifting only the name of Jesus. Kaya nga, every nation exists. Honor God. Make disciples. Because of this, because we are healthy, that's why we can go to the nations. And finally, okay, by the way, ito po yung picture ng viral. Pagka-empowering po tayo, yan po yung nangyayari. Versus pag medyo ang iba, overwork, hindi nag-i-empower, puro sila-sila lang gumagawa. Kaya even 3 taon later, you just win 12 people to the Lord. Whereas ordinary believers in our church can multiply beyond that. The last key here, I'll just close with this. The third key for messenger is everyone can be involved. Pwede po tayong mag-pray. Overwhelming po pag inisip ninyo na mahigit 200 bansa. But you know what? The Lord sometimes just wanted you to pray for one or two. Yun lang talaga. I-covenant nyo kay God until you see the gospel and churches and missionaries and churches and disciples raise up in that nation. Pangalawa, you can give. The least every one of us can do. Whether small amount or big amount, I want us all. In fact, I appeal to you. In a moment, bigyan kayo ng pagkakataon to fill up that pledge. I want you to get involved. Kahit maliit lang yan. We want you to be a part of really touching the world. Amen? Through your giving. Pangatlo, going. May dalawang klaseng goers. Short term, next year, 94 teams po tayo. Alam mo, walang age limit. Ang only requirement lang, small group leader kayo. I want us to plan to go. At least pray kayo, Lord, bring me to one nation every year. Amen ba? Kayo mga professionals, dapat mag-pray kayo, Lord, huwag ako magkasakit para magamit ko yung sick leave ko. Lalabas kami. Pupunta kami sa mission. Amen? And then the long terms are those people called to really, as a career, to really become full-time missionaries. And the last one says this. The church, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? This is our goal next year. Targeting 3 countries. And we have teams in place. They are all in these places. In November next month, we will start full-blown church plant in Sri Lanka. This is our target. Stand with us, believe with us to see the nations come to Christ.